Our next speaker will be Dr. Paul Reid, and he will talk about the hazelnut.
Good morning. First off, I have a disclaimer because Vivian, she is the real author but was unable to attend, so this is a report on her research work for her Master of Science program. And so I'll stumble a little bit because she would do it much more efficiently than I am, but I'm happy to be here and share the fact that she had a very successful research program on the willow special golden spiral, which is an ornamental willow, and much less success on the ornamental hazelnut, and I'll explain details of that in just a moment. But why would we need to use micropropagation on something that roots fairly easily, such as salix or willow? And the basic reason is that this is an unusual clone that has special characteristics that we obtained through a cooperative program with Dr. Gabor Schmidt from the University, Corvinus University, it's now called. It was the University of Food and Horticulture in Budapest, Hungary. And so this was not available in the trade, and rapid multiplication was the option that we wanted to pursue. Let's see. Yeah, okay, thank you. This just gives you a quick view of what golden spiral looks like. And this is the Tetera red ornamental Corylus. We had done a fair amount of work in my lab on Corylus or hazelnut prior to this, the edible hazelnut, not the ornamental. And Vivian wanted to be sure that everybody understood what the micropropagation protocol was, so I have a couple of panels here to remind you of that, but time won't really allow me to take a lot of time to explain that in detail. I think most of us follow, and basically our goal is to transform large numbers of plants, produce large numbers of plants through micropropagation of elite germplasm. Her research focused on looking at comparing a range of media and plant growth regulators. And I would just point out that Murashige and Skoog, woody plant medium, and Driver Koniaki woody walnut medium, or DKW, were compared with a medium that Mehmet Nas developed for Corylus as part of his master's and PhD programs. He's now a professor in a university in Turkey. We focused mostly on using BA as the cytokinin and IBA as the rooting compound. We did encounter problems with trying to rejuvenate these plants. Especially the Corylus were from mature plants, and we wanted to get more juvenility and probably will in the future obtain more juvenile material, which we hope will be a little bit more amenable to the methods we're using. She also encountered a lot of problems with vitrification of the Corylus and contamination, which I will spend a moment or two on later in the presentation. But it's always good to lead with your successes, so I'll talk more about the salix than I will about the Corylus. Basically, three objectives: compare the standard media that I mentioned, MS, WPM, and TKW, with the NOS Reed medium, or NRM, and to test best concentrations and combinations of growth regulators, fairly standard kind of approach. And with the hazelnut research, Corrales take a look at ways to reduce contamination, because unfortunately the Corrales has endogenous bacterial contaminants that are very difficult to get rid of. For the golden spiral research, explants were taken from buds from buds that branches were taken in the winter time and soaked in bleach for external contaminant removal or disinfestation, stored them in the cooler for several months, and then put them into a forcing solution, which we've used for many years, to obtain softwood outgrowth from woody plant species. The standard forcing solution, basically, I've noted here, is the 2% sucrose and 200 milligrams 8-hydroxyquinoline citrate per liter. Oops, I hit the wrong button, I'm sorry. Design a simple treatment design of four different combinations of growth regulators on all four media. And this colorful chart simply shows how the different treatments were laid out in a complete randomized design. And the data that we acquired was number of new shoots, size of the new shoots and roots after a total of 40 days. This is on the Salix, and stem length or shoot length. We also compared leaf color, and using a Pantone matching system color chart, the circled and red colors were considered acceptable colors, and the yellower squares you see on this chart were ones that indicated to us anyway lack of good health in the plants that we were working with. We were aiming for those greener plants, indicating more healthy plants. With the Corrales, similar approaches were used, and I won't dwell on them except to call your attention to the middle part of the panel, where we point out that we used streptomycin both in the forcing solution and also in the medium. And again, a similar design to that which was used for the Salix golden spiral. This sketches out or graphically indicates to you the different steps that we went through with the Corrales, including use of different treatments, different lengths of time, extreme treatments in some cases. ETOH means ethanol, and unfortunately even that exterior didn't really reduce the amount of the endogenous organism bacterial complex. So this gives you an idea of what the in both cases, what the forcing system looks like. The dormant stems are placed in the solution containing sucrose and 8-hydroxyquinoline citrate, or 8-HQC. And for those of you that are not familiar with this forcing system, it's basically using compounds that would be very similar to the materials that you would find in a little packet when you buy roses or carnations at the commercial florist to extend vase life of those cut flowers. And it works exceptionally well in many woody plant species when we're trying to obtain softwood outgrowth, which is much easier to use, of course, in tissue culture. Similar design and similar data collection, except that the contamination was wound up being a little bit like the speaker before me, where in preliminary studies there were a limited number of successes, and in fact we're in the 90% range of contamination with the Corrales. This next few panels will show you pretty good success rate, and pointing out, however, that the plant growth regulator, the cytokinin concentration, was critical to success for when one used. Back up a second. In this level of 2.5 milligrams per BA per liter and 0.5 IBA, woody plant medium and MS were superior. But note the number 7 as a number of shoots, new shoots produced. But when the NRM medium was used with 2.5 and reducing the IBA, then the shoot number went up. You could say the shoot number. Never mind. But definitely, it turned out to be producing as many as 12 shoots, much superior to the 6-7 that we obtained with the other media. So, shoot number of Golden Spiral worked very well. And NRM, or NOS reed medium, helped with when we were trying to obtain roots as well. Direct rooting is something I'm not going to report on today, but it's a standard approach that we've used for many years in rooting woody plant shoots from tissue culture, direct rooting in a non-in vitro medium, or ex vitro, usually peat vermiculite mixtures or similar. And stem length was, as you can see, graphically represented here for Golden Spiral on the extreme right. The NRM medium was superior. And you can also see that in the example of the shoots illustrated in these typical shell vial cultures. Notice, though, that the NRM medium looks red in color, and that's because of a switch to FE, sequestration FE-138 instead of the standard iron sources that are used in many media. Again, that color chart I showed you, this graphically represents the improved color that was obtained with DKW medium, and even more so with the NRM medium. This next couple of panels simply is a repeat of similar experiments. And I would point out that, although I didn't mention it in the materials and methods, these experiments were conducted 4 times. Each experiment with rather large numbers of explants. So it's pretty reliable research results. Good quality plants could be of the Golden Spiral could be transplanted into pots and thus into the field. And so that we basically look at that as the good news of this presentation. The bad news is that most of the Corylus, ornamental Corylus, were contaminated readily, and so there's much more research to be done. I'm going to skip over the data because they mostly show browning or and contamination rates that are upwards of 90 to 100%, unfortunately. And so I'm going to skip these next data, but if anybody that wants to find out more, I can discuss it with you later. But as you can see in this panel, we did have a few successes and enough to encourage us to pursue this further in the future, especially finding ways to overcome the endogenous contaminant, the bacterial contaminant that is in many Corylus, but especially in this one. So the NRM medium was superior for Golden Spiral, and the results were very successful for that particular species, and very high quality transplants were obtained. The Corylus, on the other hand, at this point, we are not at a point where we can say anything positive, except we have a hint, one might say, of improved reduction of contamination with streptomycin, but and a couple of other antibiotics have been tested also. We think we have to do a bit more with that. So in the future, we want to test other combinations of plant growth regulators, but initiating the hazelnut in vitro is something, this ornamental hazelnut is something that's going to have to be researched further, probably through the use of antibiotics, but possibly some other extreme treatments, heat treatments, among others, or something where it will take place. And Vivian is bashful here, but I've convinced her to put a picture of her on this presentation, so I'll end with that and point out that she's the one that did the work, and she put in many, many long hours in the lab. Most of you are familiar with that drill, so I'll stop here and ask if there might be time for one question.
Have one question. Did you try the infiltration of an antibacterial solution to reduce the contamination? If you can put in a vacuum and then use it as antibacterial solution.
I'm sorry, say that again.
If you have infiltration, vacuum infiltration of the antibacterial solution to get your contamination down. The problem is, you know, endogenous bacteria, so you want to get an antibacterial solution inside, it could be a vacuum infiltration.
Yeah. Well, the external contaminants were easily controlled. The internal ones were not. And they are apparently gram-positive bacterial contaminants, but our plant pathology people so far have not been able to pin it down as to what it really is.
Thank you very much. Let's get a round of applause for that.